I mean, 12-0 is really hard to do, no matter what conference you're in or what team you're on. But I just feel like 12-0 doesn't matter unless you finish the job. And no matter what happens next, we're still focused on going 15-0.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in. On this Friday, that was Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. 12-0 is hard to do. Michigan continues on this weekend. Welcome. Welcome in to our special Big Ten title game eve show. Good afternoon, Michigan football. We're live weekdays at 1 o'clock talking about the latest in Michigan sports. And yeah, it's a great day to be excited with anticipation for this championship weekend. It's got a nice ring to it, you know, tomorrow, championship Saturday. And if Michigan wasn't participating, you know, there have been times, you know, now you're getting used to it after last year and everything. But, you know, previous to that, I can remember all of those championship Saturdays. And, you know, with Michigan not playing, it's not, you know, all that exciting. They're not the greatest matchups and all that. But meanwhile, Michigan is playing. And because of that and where it is all situated, Michigan bringing it home at 8 o'clock tomorrow night when they kick it off with Purdue at Lucas Oil Field, you know, tonight's game with USC and Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, very exciting, very important. You know, a lot of anticipation if you're a Michigan fan. You know, tomorrow at noon, you get things going. And, you know, you're rooting for TCU. You just keep it going. You want to see what Georgia looks like. Heck, you know, it's not out of the question. In fact, you know, I think you expect now Michigan is going to be playing Georgia in the championship game. Yeah, a lot of little different things can happen. You got to go out there and win, and got to win another game for that to happen. But it's all right there for Michigan. That's the point. And it's been there since this past Saturday when they put out one of their great performances of all time down in Columbus. And, you know, talking about that game still here on a Friday is still feels very, very relevant to the football program. Well, you might want to know, we got lots to get to. You know, a lot of times, even during the season, you talk about the game and the matchup and everything that's going on with Michigan all the way through, and you get to a football Friday, and everybody's excited about tomorrow, but you sit there on a Friday, and you're like, man, we've talked about this matchup. We've gone over the team. We've looked at everything. Let's just, you know, get a prediction and get ready for the game tomorrow. But it's not been the case. There's a lot of things going on with Michigan that we're going to talk about, and let me just tell you about some of those things. First, I want to tell all of you that if you're thinking about you buy the same stuff, you know, for your dad, your brother, your sister, mom, all of that, your relatives and everything, you want something creative. Well, how about this? How about the gift of the Maize and Blue Review this holiday season? Go to michigan.rivals.com. The Maize and Blue Review for the Michigan fan in your life. That's a smart move. Get that going right now. You'd know everything that's going on with Michigan. Now, today, we'll talk about Blake Corum's status. There's been an update with that on Michigan's MVP. Also, some thoughts on the Big Ten title game tomorrow. Yesterday, we were going to talk about J.J. McCarthy, and we pushed it back today because of the Mozzie Smith situation. And we'll touch on that 24 hours on as well. But we are going to connect with the former Michigan head coach, Lloyd Carr. And let's do that right now. Former Michigan head coach, Lloyd Carr, is with us. Lloyd, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Dennis. No complaints. How about you?
Well, I got a lot of complaints, but, you know, nobody wants to hear what I have to complain about, you know. But it's been a lot of fun the way Michigan has played this year. And, you know, you were a part of it this season back in mid-October, the October 15th game against Penn State. You came up and you had a week-long celebration. I saw all the pictures. I saw you down on the field. It was the Lloyd Carr Tunnel dedication. Tell me what that weekend was like and what it meant to you.
Well, it was, a wonderful weekend or week to be able to celebrate with so many players who came back for our reunion of the 97 team. And, of course, the tunnel naming was something that I want to thank Ward Manuel and the Board of Regents and but most of all those guys that I coached down through the years, my name is up there because of the way they played the game and the way they represented the University of Michigan. So it was a great week.
Was there one part that was more emotional than the other? Like, you know, they pulled the, the captains got up there. I saw, them take down the banner and then it had your name there. Or during the game when you had the players come out there, was any particular part more emotional than another part?
Well, it was all special, and especially at the tunnel, John Jansen and Eric Mays got up on their ladders. I was scared to death they were going to fall off, but it was great leadership from those two guys for that team. And of course, there's nothing like going down that tunnel and out onto the field and the welcome that we received when they recognized the 97 team. That was really special. And where did those 25 years go? But that was great fun.
Well, I can tell you, it kind of brings it around full circle. You know, 97, you went 12-0, and it just so happened this past Saturday, this Michigan team, for the first time since that 97 team, your team, they went 12-0. I don't know. What do you think? Did you think that this team was special when you saw them back there in mid-October? And I don't know. What do you make of Jim Harbaugh's 2022 team?
Well, I think it's, what this team did, and especially with the injuries we have. You always have some injuries, but this team was able to outplay a schedule that was set up where Jim took advantage in terms of the way he handled the quarterback situation. I thought was great. I thought the key to the whole season for me came down to the last drive of the Illinois game because everything was on the line. And Jim punted the ball. He trusted his defense there with a couple minutes to go, and he punted the ball away, and his defense came up with a big stop. And then that offense, this McCarthy kid, really, I thought, he learned some, he has confidence coming out of that game because he took his team down under the greatest of pressure, behind the clock is running, and that team developed. They caught some passes. And he just had to leave that game feeling that he was ready to take on all comers. And certainly this last Saturday in Columbus, he showed that.
Well, just a minute or two more with former Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr, a Hall of Famer in 2011, 5 Big Ten titles, and Michigan goes for back-to-back titles for the first time since 2003 and 2004. And, you know, all the stuff with 97, undefeated, Corum was in line. If he didn't get injured in that Illinois game, maybe he would have won the Heisman Trophy with a great performance against Ohio State. And then the other thing, you mentioned with the quarterbacks, there was a part in the summer where I hear Jim Harbaugh, you know, he says, I love them both. And I thought, wow, like Carr, you know, he used to always say he liked him both. And then at the one point, you know, I don't know if he was being criticized or if he was just being asked about the running game. And he said, we're going to run the ball or we're going to die trying. I said, well, this is Lloyd Carr, you know, up there. And I just want to ask you about that aspect. Lloyd, football's changed over, you know, the last 25 years or 2007, even since you were on the sideline, but you always had to defend throwing the football and used to declare that, you know, you actually liked throwing the ball. And yet this team, this Michigan team, they, their identity is running the football. And I wanted to know how much you like that, that they have an identity of running the football.
Well, I think it goes back, you know, Jim and I both were spent important parts of our careers with Bo Schembechler, and his philosophy there has carried on. I think people have asked me about the same question you ask, and you can run for 270 yards a game, and if you have the backs that we have, you're gonna have a chance to win a championship. And as I mentioned before, they did it with unbelievable number of injuries, and I think Jim Harbaugh did a miraculous job of taking a group of guys. And the way he handled the quarterbacks and the way that he's built this team, it's just, you know, you talk about recruiting, and I don't follow the, you know, all the number of, you know, the part of it that really impressed me is the way game after game, look at Schoonover, look at Corum. I mean, those are great players, and they didn't miss a beat. So they're doing a great job of recruiting and recognizing, you know, what they want, the type of guy they want. Jim talks about character and the way that he loves what goes on in his locker room. So I think if you can run the football like that, you saw what happened in Columbus. They put nine guys up there, and that puts the deep part of the field. You know, there's only three back there as opposed to four. And when you can do that, the way they their game plan going in there, those big plays kill a defense. They kill your morale. And so I think it's a team for the ages. You know, I mean, this team, well, what they have in front of them is it's a new season. But I think I feel great about it. And I look down on that field and I like everything I see.
Michigan, Purdue tomorrow in Indianapolis. Michigan going for 13-0 and getting back to the college football playoff for 2 years in a row. Lloyd Carr was head coach at Michigan for 13 years. What's it like? You mentioned that Ohio State game. I mean, what's it like when you know, you've been on the sideline for so many times for games and everything? There's such an intensity. I know, you know, playing down in Columbus. What's it like for you watching the game when this past Saturday when Michigan's down there, you know, playing in front of, 90,000 in scarlet and gray? What are your emotions like? What's it like watching them?
Well, I had the great opportunity to play in that, coach in that game for 27 years. And now that I'm retired and I follow it, the excitement is still there. I mean, you're counting the minutes, you're watching all the pregame shows and the band and all the things that make it so special. And when toe meets leather, as Bo used to say, you knew you were about to see something really special. And, you know, we in 06, we were undefeated. Ohio State was undefeated. And we were playing in Columbus. And those games, now that we have an opportunity this year to win another national championship. So it's exciting, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that game was declared the game of the century, and then this last Saturday was the game of the century too, and, you know, 22 years into the century and everything. I got two quick hitters for you, and, you know, you mentioned recruiting, and you don't follow it, but I was following one recruitment really close, and that was with your grandson, and I don't, you know, congratulations to you and to CJ, but I just wanted to ask you if in a couple years it turned out that Michigan was playing Notre Dame in the college football playoffs, and you know, what would that be like for you? Are you hoping that that happens? Like, you know, you root for both teams now, and, you know, what do you think that would be like for you?
You know, first of all, my grandson, if he's happy, I'm happy, and he's a great kid, and he made a decision, and that's we'll only know, or I'll only know when we get there, but I'll be rooting for CJ Carr wherever he is, and you know, and what goes with it, with you know, he grew up here, and you know, the recruiting process, he went all over the country and had a lot of people in here, and it was not an easy decision in some ways, but he fell in love with the place, but I'll never cheer against Michigan. I mean, I'll be for CJ Carr, and that's what I know right now. But we'll see.
I hope it happens. It'll be great for CJ. It'll be great for you. It'll be great for Michigan. So it'll make a great story. And with that, my final question is, do you have a book coming out? Somebody had told me that you were writing a book. Is that forthcoming?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
No.
You can squash that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else that you would point out? Charitable endeavors, anything that, you know, that Michigan fans listening to you can get involved with, Lloyd?
Well, the Chantop Foundation, the support we've had from the state of Michigan and all over this country has really enabled us to do some things that is going to lead to a time when DIPG will not be a death sentence for these kids and their families. So that's been a big part of my life since I retired. And I just want to say thanks to the thousands and thousands of people who have donated to Chantop and who have worked with the foundation to enable us to make a lot of progress. We've got some great doctors and researchers who have brought us a long ways in a short time. So thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
That's a great legacy, what you're doing, and I like following it and supporting it. I'm a huge fan of your family and of Chad Tuff. So great job there. All right, Lloyd, enjoy the game tomorrow. Thanks so much for spending a couple minutes with us here on the Maize and Blue Review.
It's like old times, Dennis. Have a good one.
Hey, take care. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thank you. Go Blue.
There he is.
That's right.
Lloyd Carr. Thanks so much. And there he is, Lloyd Carr. You are right. Let's make sure we get that in there. He is not on the hotline anymore. Thanks to the coach for joining us. You know, after last Saturday, everybody's all excited about Michigan football. You know, there've been a couple times over the last few years that I've talked with Lloyd, not been during the football season, just kind of, you know, he's down in Tennessee. We're talking and he's like, I don't know if I remember that particular game or all of the, you know, specifics that you might ask. Cause I was asking him to come on my podcast, but when you have a game like last week, it, you know, it fires everybody up. Everybody's all excited about Michigan and about beating Ohio State, about a chance to win, you know, back-to-back Big Ten titles and then beyond. You know, he keeps saying all of these things, and it's all happening in real time. You're a Michigan fan and you're watching this or you're listening to this. These games and this time is going to be looked back upon and talked about for 5, 10, 15, 25, as long as people are talking about Michigan football, and in 25 years, there'll be somebody sitting, you know, however it works, talking about, man, back in 21 and 22, oh boy. I mean, and, you know, you're here. It's happening for you on the eve of championship Saturday with Michigan getting ready to take on Purdue. How about that? Be ready for that game tomorrow. Now, you know, a few other things that we're going to get to here. Let's knock them down. Blake Corum. The news, you saw Ian Rappaport say that Corum was done for the season. And then if you were following the Maize and Blue review, you know, Josh Henske was like, I'm not 100% sure. He wasn't 100% sure. You know, he was talking with his sources, and he said he wasn't 100% sure about the part about him being done for the season. And it is something just to think about. Corum, I think he had his procedure on his knee, and when they said that he was done for the season, if you look back at that story, the stories about that, you have seen that they have changed their story in that, yeah, he's getting a procedure done and they don't know the timeline for being cleared to come back. So he is out tomorrow, but not necessarily for the whole year. Not sure right now if he will be cleared for any potential playoff game, but you do think all the way, like, you know, today's December the 2nd, the semifinals are going to be on December 31st, but then January the 9th is the championship game. And at least the possibility, at least the chance, maybe, that Blake Corum, if Michigan makes the college football championship game on January the 9th, that maybe number 2 would suit up and give it a go for Michigan. Not 100%, but not 100% the other way either. So it is something to think about. Now, also something to think about is just, I'm going to ask you, the people, the Michigan fans, how far can Michigan go without Corum? Think that one over. How far can Michigan go without Corum? Now, if you didn't have last Saturday to lean on, the most recent game with Michigan, and, you know, Corum gave it a go, but he wasn't a factor against Ohio State. And but we have that. Like, if you didn't have that, you'd say, oh, they're, it's, you know, they're in big trouble. But we have watched Michigan without Blake Corum. And sure enough, the timing was fabulous. That J.J. McCarthy, and we had talked about it all offseason. We had talked about it in the regular season. You know, remember, you go back to the summer, and there were a lot of people that were predicting everybody was predicting how the quarterback competition would go. But there were a lot of people that said, you know, you only need J.J. for Ohio State. It's like, well, they're not going to go 11-0 and just insert J.J. McCarthy the week of Ohio State. But, you know, that's when they needed McCarthy the most, and he took off. And, you know, Blake Corum was Michigan's MVP. We all can agree on that for the first 10, you know, even 10 and a half games for Michigan. Hell, he ran for 100 yards in the first half against Illinois before he went down with that knee injury. Do I think they can win the game tomorrow without Blake Corum? Yes. Do I think that Michigan can beat TCU in a college football playoff semifinal without Blake Corum? Yes. Do I think Michigan can beat USC? Say TCU loses and USC slides up. Do I think Michigan could beat USC without Blake Corum? Yes. If both TCU and USC loses and Ohio State slides up, and it's Michigan, Ohio State, do I think that Michigan on a neutral field in Glendale, Arizona, likely, could beat Ohio State? Yes. They just did it last week. If he played, it was amazing in that game, you'd say, oh, man, I don't. But yes. Yes. So then I'm putting Michigan into the championship game. And again, not 100% sure that he would play, but not 100% sure that he wouldn't. Could Michigan beat, and it just seems like Georgia, I don't know, it could be Ohio State. If Ohio State slides up and has to play Georgia the first, we already been over Ohio State. Could Michigan beat Georgia in a championship game without Blake Corum? Yes. Now, it's not as an emphatic as a yes as those other ones. But the championship game is going to be difficult no matter what. If Michigan had every one of their players, there's a lot of guys that have been banged up, and some of them are out for the season. If they had all of them, a championship game is going to be difficult to win, whoever it is, especially against Georgia. But can they win that game? And my answer is yes. And it's not just like, well, Michigan, 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 Michigan. Although, that is my answer for everything right now, because Michigan has proven it. And the one thing that I think about that, here's my prediction for tomorrow, by the way. I like the Wolverines to win it and win the Big Ten title tomorrow by double figures, by 12 points, 38-24. That's my prediction. You know, Michigan doesn't need any style points. They don't need to go out there and blast the Boilers off the field to try to say, hey, you know, we need to be in the college football playoff. They're already in. And if they win, they're in. So they don't need to, you know, get to 50, or they just need to win the game. And I think that they will win the game 38-24. But if you just think about the injuries that they've overcome already getting to this point, you know, their backup quarterback, Cade McNamara, led them to the Big Ten title in the college football playoff last year, hurt early on. Huge question mark. Who's going to be the backup quarterback? We don't even know. We don't even know, what would happen over the next, you know, tomorrow or, you know, on New Year's Eve. That's a big-time injury. And it's not as glaring unless something happens to your starter, but that was a big-time injury with Cade McNamara going down. Now their MVP and running back one goes down in the home season finale late in the first half against Illinois. He comes out for a little bit, a series against the Buckeyes, but, you know, now he's out. But Michigan's got Donovan Edwards, who is a hell of a back in his own right, and, you know, he ran for 200 yards. Like, you know, if you didn't know and you had to depend, like, he showed what he could do. You have known what he could do, but then he actually did it on the road in Columbus, and awesome. Michigan, however you want to put Roman Wilson, who was banged up this year and missed a few games in there, I put him at wide receiver 3. He missed some time. Eric All for Michigan, missed almost the entire season. That's tight end number one. Schoolmaker. I should have put tight end number one and tight end number two because Schoolmaker has missed some games. And then Colston Loveland or Brock Bowers Jr., as he's been called. Michigan, a tremendous amount of depth at running back, wide receiver, and tight end that they had to overcome this year. Oh, yeah, Trevor Keegan, their left guard, maybe their best offensive lineman. Certainly at times he was playing as their best offensive lineman. You'd say, what about center? What about Oh Timmy? What about Hayes? I mean, good argument to have. I'm just going to say one of the best offensive linemen of the guard. He'd missed a lot of time. And I wasn't sure that he was going to play against Ohio State. And, you know, they had to back him up. Right. Speaking of both left tackle and right tackle, Hayes missed some times. Trent A. Jones missed almost the entire season over at right tackle, and Carson Barnhart went in for him. That's a lot of depth. Defensive end, Mike Morris, you know, he gave it a go. What did he play? 10, 11 snaps against the Buckeyes? That's Michigan's top defensive lineman or outside linebacker, defensive end. Number one. They were able to overcome his absence against Ohio State. And now I put defensive tackle number one in Mozzie Smith. I don't know. You know, I know that Ward Manuel said that he's practicing with the team, but it wouldn't be a huge surprise. I'm going to get to this coming up later, but I'll there is a chance that Mozzie Smith doesn't play tomorrow night. You know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. And they'll have to overcome that. And then at linebacker two, the Kai Hill Green, a lot of people had him penciled in, but a hamstring, you know, they needed a backup for the majority of the season with Michael Barrett, you know, playing linebacker. That is a lot of injuries to overcome, and yet, you know, they have done that. That's why, you know, I feel pretty good about what Michigan's doing and where they are at. All right, let's take some of the feedback and where we're at right here. That's what we do. Part of what we do. Not all of what we do, but part of what we do. Let me find a spot here and see what people are thinking about with quorum. You know, I've got it looks like 400, maybe not that many, people weighing in. So let's just find a spot and try to get there. Let's just start here. The Gladiator said, let's let Blake heal. He is a warrior. We showed last Saturday the answer to your question. We go to the Natty in honor of our star, Blake Corum. AJ, I think they can go just as far, maybe in a certain respect, it will force Michigan possibly to open up the offense, making us a little bit more unpredictable and quite possibly more dangerous. Interesting remark there, AJ. You lose your MVP, and yet it might force Michigan. And this past Saturday, did it force Michigan? Like, if they had a healthy Blake Corum, would the game plan have been still to attack down the field and, you know, Kojo for 69, Kojo for 75, Loveland for 45? I mean, would it have just been boom, boom, boom? Would it have been Edwards for 75, Edwards for 85? Or would it have been, you know, a death by a thousand cuts for the Buckeyes with a combination of Corum and Edwards? Who knows? But it's an interesting point. AJ, very interesting point. Account 22 is saying all of a sudden Georgia is unbeatable. Yeah, I don't like Georgia is so they're the defending champs. They're number one. And, you know, Michigan would be a slight underdog against Georgia, at least heading into this weekend. So that's not unbeatable. They look like a, I mean, they don't have a lot of those. The guys that they had last year, none of the teams are the same teams. Michigan's not the same team that they had last year, but Georgia's beatable. Let's disagree with account 22. I mean, I think he's talking about everybody else and not necessarily me or you, but that happens. Richard says the offensive line could take us all the way. with Edwards and all that talent in the running back room with Michigan Mike Hart. Yeah, that's a good thing to lean on. And that is a good point, Richard. You know, all those linemen that I talked about, you know, missing and El Hadi coming in and Carson Barnhart having to come in. Michigan now goes with Hayes, Keegan, Olatimi, Zinter, and Trente Jones. That is their lineup. That is their starting offensive line from left to right. They're back. They played against Ohio State, and they punched them in the mouth. Great point. Can Michigan's offensive line now back intact? Does it matter? It's a great point. So far, everybody's got their fastball here on this Friday. You should. I mean, you're going into it's predictable that Michigan fans who have watched this team all year long, that have watched this show, when I have called upon you and asked you the question, that you're bringing it and you've got your full complement of pitches and the fastball is hitting triple digits. Here's Matt on the feedback. Let's see what he says. I think they have shown how resilient they are. They can win in many ways. Edwards is a stud. He can handle the load. I think they go all the way. Ooh, a prediction, all the way. Take that, account 22. Matt's not afraid of Georgia. Michigan man Jason. Michigan is capable of changing their style of play. Jason says, without Blake, it forces us to open the playbook more. With Edwards' hand, they will be cautious. This game should be a great day for JJ. Let him toss it around a little bit more. Edwards and Stokes will be fine. Look at that. People are on point, feeling good, making tremendous remarks about Michigan and where they sit here at 137 on a Friday. Andre says Michigan can beat TCU and USC without Corum, and I'd bet that'd be favorite. They'd be the favorite. I agree. They are the favorite against either of those teams. We'll see what happens this weekend, but I'm with you. Shadyville, the first one, saying, unfortunately, we can't beat Georgia without Corum. We need both backs. Shadyville, a little bit of a Debbie Downer here on this Friday. But, you know, maybe they'll get Corum back. You know, it's not a you are being a Debbie Downer, Shadyville. But I asked the question, so you're giving me an honest answer. You don't have to, like, you know, not everybody's going to, you know, be completely 100% maize and blue. And I think there are some people like that will look at that game and be like, man, don't have the MVP. It's going to be more difficult. Going to be more difficult for sure. A couple more, and then we get some other things to get into. Gladiator saying that Coach Harbaugh letting J.J. McCarthy cook from here on to the Natty. Wake up, Michiganders. Detroit. It's been a good season. Go back in history and answer this question I posed to you a few weeks ago. Name a team Michigan has beat nationally at their best outside of the Big Ten, and you never answered my question. All right, let me think about this for a second here. Go back in history and answer this question I posed to you a few weeks ago. Name a team Michigan has beaten nationally at their best outside of the Big Ten. Well, they beat Notre Dame in their championship season recently, you know, like going outside of the Big Ten, like, you know, Florida a couple times, Harbaugh beat Florida his first time out, right? You know, so those are, you know, Notre Dame again, you know, comes to mind a couple of years ago in the rain. So, you know, it's got to be non-conference or go to the bowl games and what we're going for. I mean, I don't know. You want to pour some sugar on me, you know, Virginia Tech. But, no, if they handled Alabama, did they handle Georgia? I mean, if that's the point. It's a good point, Detroit, thinking about that. I also think that this particular team is different. and the way that they're playing and what we have seen in most of it, if not all of it, is based on what we saw from them last week and just what we see with our eyes with this team. Yeah, they want to bludgeon you and they want to get out there and they want to run the ball and tenderize you and they want to beat you that way. But, you know, as much as I like Blake Corum and he's Michigan's MVP, Donovan Edwards is like NFL back waiting to happen. Get him the ball, boom, touchdown. Mr. Explosive. Like, he's one of the best backs in the country. Michigan had the two. There was no other team in the country that had two backs better than Michigan. Michigan had the best backs. And whoever you want to compare them to, talking about Donovan Edwards, Alvin Kamara in his prime, yeah, that's who he looks like. So, yeah, bring on the SEC. The way Michigan has played defense, I don't think anybody should be scared of anybody. And so by anybody right now, it's Georgia. And, you know, maybe today's the last day that we could talk about the possibility of both Ohio State and Alabama getting in there. I think that that would make it more difficult. But Michigan has positioned themselves where it's just it's a nice path. And sometimes that happens, you know, like a lot of times I don't like comparing basketball and football, but when the brackets come out on Selection Sunday and you know, everybody's like, I like this team, I like that team. And you have to wait to see a team's path. And even though it doesn't always fall the way you think it's going to, you look at it. And right now I'm telling you that Michigan is presented with an excellent path. And they even have an out tonight and tomorrow. If USC loses tonight, it's okay. Yeah, Ohio State slides in there. I don't want that to happen, but it does. And then Michigan, you know, they can still play TCU if TCU wins tomorrow. They got two shots to have a path of TCU and USC. They're going to be heavily favored against both of those teams. That is, we call it a break. That's a nice path. That's nice. If Michigan had to play a rematch against Ohio State and then Georgia or Alabama, it's going to be tough. Tougher. Not impossible with this team, but tougher. I don't know if that answers your question or not. Detroit sports. Let's get to J.J. McCarthy. How it started, how it's going for J.J. The way that it started was the game one last year against Western. He had that 69-yard touchdown to Daylon Baldwin where, you know, he threw it all the way across the field. And we're like, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a live wire, great arm, you know, Patrick Mahomes type. And then he showed in different flashes throughout the year when he came in, talking about J.J. McCarthy, of, you know, why he was so highly touted coming out of high school. He showed a lot, flashes, left and right. Even in the Orange Bowl last year when he came in, he whipped that ball in the middle at this NFL throw. Woo, I think right to Eric All. It's like, wow, the hell of a throw. That's why a lot of people were bullish on McCarthy taking over sooner rather than later for Cade McNamara because he can run and he can throw. And as much as Michigan got pounded for their non-conference schedule, and I thought it was, you know, people had a point. It wasn't like you didn't have to put up blinders like, stop talking about it. It was true. It was a super soft schedule, but Michigan used it. They used it to their advantage for a quarterback competition. They may have used it for their collab with their offensive and defensive coordinators, where they might have went with a Weissmore and a Minterclink collab in those non-conference games to see how the communication and everything would work. I don't really think that, but it's possible. I don't completely rule it out. Like, I think Weiss makes the final call, although there's suggestions and there is collaboration with Moore. And I think Minter is making the call ultimately on the defense. But I do think that Klinkscale is right there with advice and, you know, with some of the play calling. But I don't think it's a Weissmore Minter Klink through the game. Hey, you call five plays, I'll call three. Let's, you know, come on. Maybe they played around with that a little bit. They could do anything they wanted, was the point in those non-conference games. So I think that answers Detroit's point. I'm going through JJ. Fabulous in the non-conference. You saw him in the first half against Maryland. The game was going a little fast for him. He was trying to run around and got popped there. The ball squirted out. I got lucky to recover. I say lucky because the ball, you're lucky if the ball, sometimes you fumble and it's like right there in front of you and you scoop it in. You say, oh, all right. And you don't put it on the ground. But JJ's fumble in the first half, there's two fumbles against Maryland. This ball went shooting down the field. I mean, it was out there live for anybody to jump on. So I think they got lucky that the guys jumped on it. And then even against Iowa, where he had another one, even though he got better, the ball went, trickling back by the goal line. A little bit lucky there that Donovan Edwards came up with it. But he tightened up. He stopped running all around. He didn't take big hits. He learned. Well, he really did evolve since being the starter back in game two against Hawaii. He started taking care of the ball. He started stepping out of bounds. But then came the passing game and the lack of being able to get on the same page with his receivers with the deep shots. And it, against even Nebraska, you think, they're going to work on it. Well, they couldn't connect on one. Couldn't connect on one against Rutgers. They tried down the field. It wasn't happening. It wasn't clicking. Then they were pressing in the passing game. And then they were still pressing in the Illinois game with a downfield passing game. It just wasn't happening. I know it was windy, but then it seemed like even the intermediate shots weren't there. It was like, wow, this passing game is a mess. There were a lot of Michigan fans that were like, Michigan needs a passing game coordinator. Matt Weiss or, Weissmore isn't getting it done. I mean, people were having a fit. Michigan was undefeated and here they sat. But then the Ohio State game happened. And you think like, well, so now everything's fine. Well, they got the receivers, they got the quarterback, and he's got the arm strength, and he demonstrated, the ability to play the position. It was about hitting a couple to be able to get the confidence to break that seal. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you get out there and you may shoot 100 three-pointers and you'll miss, 20 in a row. And you're like, I'll be damned. I'm a great three-point shooter. How am I missing this? But you know what happens? Sometimes you just take a move and you see it go through the bucket. You drive in there and then you shoot the next three. And what happens? It goes in. And then you think, wait a second. And then the next one goes in. That's what's happening right now with McCarthy. He's a little cold from downtown. But then he filled it up against Ohio State in the biggest pressure cooker that you could possibly have. So, I feel good about the downfield passing game. I feel like McCarthy marrying up his running game and with his arm, I feel like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He took down and outplayed the co-favorite for the Heisman Trophy last week on the road. I mean, like, everything, all the accolades. And, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He says the right things. I mean, this guy's got it, and he proved it. So that's how it started, and that's where it's at right now. It started good, and it's going really good now. The downfield passing game did not start all that hot, but now it is hot. And the overall passing game needed work, but right now it is going really well. And having the confidence in the overall passing game, it's really important. And, I feel pretty good about that. Let's take a little bit more feedback from the people and see where everyone's at. Account 22 is saying that JJ is underestimated. Yeah, I don't know about anymore. Definitely going in. I mean, I underestimated him going into Saturday, but, not now. Antoine says, with Donovan Edwards in the backfield, if his hands get any better, you don't know what Michigan is going to do with Donovan running or catching. Good point about the hand. He's got the right hand in the splint, taking away the ability to be a mismatch in the passing game. I don't know. Is he going to be able to run routes? Is that splint going to be a little bit smaller? Because it was pretty bulky against the Buckeyes. He still looked pretty good, breaking off those 75 and 85 yard back-to-back runs, but They're gonna need a little bit of Stokes and stuff tomorrow. You know? How about Andre saying, if Michigan can't beat Georgia, no one can. I like that. Gladiator doesn't like my pick. He doesn't think Purdue's scoring 24. Does not think that that's going to happen. I don't mind you coming at me for my prediction. That's what they're for. Shady says JJ will need to clean some things up, like those out routes. But if he can hit on those in combination with a deep ball, he would also need to run more than any game this season. Not bad. Not bad. Count 22 doesn't think there's any way. 17 for Purdue. Shadyville putting some numbers out there, laying them out. Purdue 88th in the country in points per drive. Yeah, well, what I think, you know, it gets a little different when you get into a championship-type situation. And I do think that Michigan will be up in this game. But I think Purdue with a chance to get some points in the first half, if we know how Michigan has played this year. And then I think late, I think they'll get some – it'll be a relatively close game of the first half. Then Michigan will do their normal choke you out in the second half. They'll get up big. But I think in the fourth quarter, there'll be some extra points. If you're talking about gambling, the dreaded backdoor cover, I would be worried about if I was, betting on Michigan minus 18.5. But, you know, that's me. You know, like I've been wrong a lot about Michigan. I picked Ohio State last week. You know, I don't see how wrong I am. Honestly, it sucks. This is from Montrell. He says it sucks with Corum going down, but I think Edwards is the all-around better back and the better pro prospect. If both are healthy in a draft today, I believe Edwards would go before Corum. Yeah, you know, Donovan Edwards can – I bet when he runs the 40 – it seems like watching him that he's going to run a sub 4.4. And when you just see him with football speed, you know, he goes from 0 to 100 like that. 0 to 99, 0 to 100. And it was like watching him in high school. I remember watching the tape, you know, you'd watch the tape of West Bloomfield with Donovan Edwards and you'd say, okay, let's see what he's got. Here's the handoff. He would just get past the defensive line, and then it would be like these 80-yard sprints all the time you're watching. And we're like, what am I watching? This guy takes the handoff and just goes 80 yards every single time. I mean, like, you know, and I'm not seeing any moves left or right. I'm not seeing – I see a guy get the ball, hit the hole, and he's gone. 90 yards, 70 yards, 80 yards, 90 yards. There's the highlight tape. I'm like, is that what he's going to be able to do in college? Answer? Yes, that is what he's going to do. So, yeah, you're telling me that you think a guy that can run a sub 4.4, catch the ball like a wide receiver, and has got football speed in addition, you know, to the sub 4.4 is going to be coveted in the NFL nowadays? All right. I'm with you. And it's not even taking anything away from Blake Corum because I think that, you know, he's going to do really well in the NFL as well. I mean, look at him. Thing is, Michigan's got two great backs. And that's why it's great to have depth and have guys that can prove it like that. I mean, that's where we're sitting here right now. Okay, I think that I got most of. And here's some questions. Anybody know for sure what Corum surgery is exactly for? Adam, I don't. Something knee. I mean, if I knew exactly what it was, scope or whatever it was, I don't know. But what I am hearing from the publisher of the Maize and Blue Review, Josh Henschke, is that whatever the procedure is, that they're that Michigan made it known when the report came out yesterday by Rappaport that he was done for the season, that Michigan made sure, like, no, no, wait a second. January 9th, there's a chance. And that's all. That's it. So maybe if you know enough about the procedures and what it could be, that you could put your own timeline, because if it happened this week and, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks in there, you can kind of figure it out. But I'm not 100% sure. Not 100% sure where it is. You know, Anwar, probably no truer feedback has been written in today to say, let's just go ahead and beat Purdue and then go from there. Let's just do that. You know, I am skipping ahead. Beat Purdue, and then we'll see. Let's see what happens tonight in the Pac-12. Let's see what happens in the Big 12. Let's see what happens at Lucas Oil Field. And then, you know, we're going to have more of an idea on what's going on. So, yeah, tonight, USC, Utah, 8 o'clock. Tomorrow at noon, TCU, Kansas State. Everybody in the country is rooting for Kansas State except Michigan and TCU. There you go, 4 o'clock. You want to watch something? Georgia and LSU. And then everything leads into the main event, Michigan taking on Purdue. Can't wait. You know, yesterday, the story about Mozzie Smith, and if you're somebody that doesn't like to hear anything negative about, you know, Michigan, I don't often say this, but, you know, you might want to just take a break for a second. Here's my thoughts after yesterday. Mozzie Smith is lucky that he wasn't suspended the last 6 or even 7 games. If Mozzie Smith plays tomorrow for Michigan, I think he's even luckier. When it comes down to firearms, it is your job to know the rules. I know a lot of people are like, "Yeah, procedural, you know, this and that." And I know people, myself, was, you know, texting with my cousin who, you know, he's a huge advocate of guns, and you know, he was saying it was a joke, you know, that's a felony and all these things. I get all of that. I'm just giving you my own opinion. When it comes down to firearms, you need to cross your T's and dot your I's. And you have to know how to transport a gun. You need, when you have a firearm, to know all the rules. And you need to adhere to them. So, you know, all of this, like, it's not, you know, it's something. And I'll just say, if he plays tomorrow, he's lucky. I don't know about all the other stuff, about the time and, you know, this and, you know, I'm just saying he's lucky. And maybe he'll go out there and he'll play for Michigan and they'll win. And, you know, you'll see in the days and weeks ahead that it was, you know, like, wow, this, we come to find out this, you know, maybe they should change the terminology. I don't know about any of that. I'm just telling you where I'm sitting here today. I think he's lucky that he's going to be able to play. He's Michigan's captain, one of them, that he gets to play tomorrow. That's my opinion on the situation. Speaking of tomorrow night, I'm going to be watching all of those games. Can't wait for tonight, but then all day long, I'm going to be watching football. All day long, I'm going to be watching football. And I want to tell everyone, tomorrow after the Big Ten title game, you can check us out on the Michigan Football Postgame Live. Jim Scarcelli, the former Wolverine, will join us after the game, and we'll talk about it. And it's a good thing to remember that, you know, you want to hear about Michigan after the game. If you're not staying up late Sunday morning, nothing going on Sunday morning for, you know, of anybody with podcasts or anything, we'll have one for you, you know, sitting right there on the Maize and Blue Review. So you've got all of that, you know, going on. It's going to be just a, you know, fabulous couple of days. I can't wait. I want to thank everybody for watching. Thanks to Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr for joining us. He's going to enjoy the game tomorrow night. And so are you. And so am I. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow night after the game. Till then, have a great day.